Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We're going to be back to do it again tomorrow and then the next day and the next day. Tomorrow's Super Tuesday. It's not really very suspenseful or anything like that. I think we know how the primary is going to turn out, but still. All right, so here's what we have. We're going to talk a little spending stuff. We'll get to the future of American cities, more on public safety and how that's going, ESG stuff, the Lake and Riley law, all that, so much more still to come this hour, hopefully on the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm just gonna touch on this for just a moment. Headline is, the U.S. began adding $1 trillion in debt every 3 months last June. You already know that because we started ranting about it on the show. We noticed that as soon as that trend started coming in, we started talking about it. Remember, debt problems as a country, it snowballs. It doesn't slowly go up, just gradually maintaining the exact same angle as it goes up. That's not how it works. As the debt goes up, value of the dollar goes down. Interest rates go up, things get worse faster and faster and faster. When I talk to you about the debt crisis, the crisis that is coming for this country, I want you to understand that I'm not making a long prediction you'll never be able to hold me to. It's coming soon. You will be alive for it. Unless you're going to kick off in the next year or two, you will be alive when the crisis gets here. You heard, we talked about it last week, the Social Security shortfall that's coming. So every person listening to the sound of my voice who takes Social Security gets an automatic 23% cut. Psh, gone. That's not 50 years away. It's coming. The fiscal crisis is coming. And I scream and I yell about it because it's unreal that no one in Washington will stop. They can't make themselves stop. Headline, Congress unveils appropriations bills to avoid partial government shutdown. It's bill after bill after bill after bill after bill. There's like 12 of the bills getting ready to pass through Congress because the government shuts down this Friday if they don't fund the government. And both parties, both of them have come together and they both are they're both saying the same thing. We got to avoid a shutdown. The most important thing is that we have to avoid shutting anything down. Excuse me? That's the most important thing? I'm not even doing the dissident Jesse thing where I want everything shut down, even though I do. Setting that aside, even if you don't agree with dissident Jesse, the most important thing in the world right now is for Republicans and Democrats to come together and begin slashing the federal budget in order to save our financial system. The death of it, the crisis that is coming, will be here in our lifetime. Call it 5 years, maybe less. 10, definitely less than 10. It's coming for us. And it's not some crazy prediction where I'm going to act like I'm some kind of an oracle, whatever stupid things we do on the show. It's math. The math says it's coming. The car is racing towards the cliff, and Republicans and Democrats are driving, and all they can manage to do is brag about the fact that they haven't slowed down yet. They're in here in the article all over the place. Well, we got to get this funded and that funded. It's really important that we do this and really important. No one is talking about how important it is to begin making very difficult choices now. You ever see one of those movies, one of those old sailing movies, where they're on a sailing ship in a bad storm and they start dumping things over the side? Hey, can we lose the cannons? We got to get rid of the weight. And what else? Hey, Bob, we need you to get rid of your underwear. That's got to go. That's what we should be doing now in Washington, D.C., in order to preserve your way of life or my way of life, the standard of living we've come to know. We should be slashing and burning all of it. The budget, you should be discussing what you should keep. The discussion on America's budget right now, the main discussion should be those Americans who rely on Medicare and Social Security, who've paid into those programs. How do we ensure we can care for the ones who are already on it, they're older, they're done working, while getting rid of this crap for the next generation, while getting America off of this drug? That discussion should be had about the military. How do we begin saving money as a military? What should we keep? What should we keep? We have to revamp. We have to change everything. It's too bloated. We spend way too much money. There's all this waste. What should we keep? Not what should we cut. What should we keep? That should be the discussion in DC now for everything, every single part of the budget. What should we keep? And the stuff we have to keep, how do we, with as little pain as possible, get us off of what little we have? That should be what we discuss. But we don't. No one will talk about it. No, I take that wrong. You talk about it. No one in Washington, D.C. wants to bring it up. Nobody wants to have a hard conversation. As we've talked about before, the party's been going on for so long. Everyone in America in the big building living and whooping it up. And woo, they got go-hearts, go-karts, woo, free margaritas, party, party, party. Nobody wants to be the guy who shuts down the music. Pew, that's the sound of music shutting down. Pew, shuts down the music and turns on the lights and says, hey, everyone, I know you've been living it up for quite some time, years, really. And the party has been fun, hasn't it? We have enjoyed it, have we not? But the party ends now, and cleanup begins. So everybody grab a broom, some paper towels, some cleaner, because we have a lot of work to do cleaning up this place we've been partying in for so long. No one wants to do it. Nobody in the House, nobody in the Senate, not Republicans, not Democrats. And the debt crisis is a guarantee. The car is racing for the edge, and everyone knows it. And all these people can talk about is how important it is to keep the government open. It's not important to keep the government open. It's important to save the American people. And that's how you should view yourself. That's what you should view your job is if you're in the House, if you're in the Senate. Not saving your political hide for the next generation. Not avoiding any hard cuts. You should view your job as being the man who turns on the lights and starts handing out brooms. And none of these dorks do. And it drives me crazy. I can't stand it. It drives me crazy. And look, it's not like you're going to get any help from the communists. The communists understand that this is a huge benefit for them. A debt crisis, a nation in crisis, will be much more accepting of communism than America ever has been. That's why they all go on TV and talk like this.
What is wrong here? What is the disconnect that people think that Joe Biden is presiding over the worst economy in a decade?
Our economy is a comeback story, and we've got to start telling that story, Michael. And Democrats, I think when it comes to messaging, we're at our worst when we try and, you know, speak to the head, and we try and get all cerebral, and we talk about the numbers and, you know, unemployment numbers and GDP growth. That doesn't mean anything.
He knows what he's saying. He understands what it means for you, for your family. He understands. That's what drives me crazy. Like in this bill, these appropriations bills, This is what they do. And I don't even want to just call out him because he's such a piece of trash. I will, though. Chuck Schumer, New York. He's got $1 million in this bill for an environmental justice center in New York City. As the car races towards the cliff, Republicans and Democrats have joined together for another series of handouts to, hey, this is for your state and this is for your district. And hey, we'll build an airport in your name. We'll call it the Jesse Kelly Airport and we'll build this. And here's an environment. They're all living it up with money that they've blown. The treasury's empty and these people are still partying it up like it will never stop, but it will stop. And it's going to stop soon. Whew. Let's get to some emails. Jesse, you're always talking about getting something of value you can hold. I took after my grandpa, a Korean War veteran, and started giving 1 ounce silver rounds to my nieces and nephews and godchildren for their baptism, birthdays, first communion, really any milestone. More people should do the same for the young people in their lives. Says I can say his name. His name is Eric. I've started to really embrace this lately. I've started to embrace the fact that when I'm giving gold or silver coins to my sons, that I'm not just handing them something of value that these people can't destroy the value of. I'm giving them something that's a keepsake from me that will never go bad, right? It'll never go stale. Even that, think about this. If I hand my boys a gun, which I'll hand them all my guns, when I die, they can have all my guns. That's wonderful, right? But there's going to come a time in a generation or two where those are all old antiques, probably rusted out because those dirty grandkids didn't care for them. But my great, 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 great grandkids, who I will never meet, they won't even know who I am. They will likely hold gold or silver coins that I bought from Oxford Gold Group. Isn't that wild? Isn't that a cool thing to do for your kids, their kids after them? Start acquiring wealth the government can't destroy. 833-995-GOLD. Get something to hand down to the next generation. 833-995-GOLD.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. It is one of the bigger bummers for me watching American cities I love descend into hell. I hate it. You've heard me lament about it before. And I know, especially on the right, the most normal thing in the world is to dog on cities. We hate cities, right? Just cesspools and whatnot. Look, I like it all. I love being alone in the mountains, in the woods, on a lake, in a fishing boat. I love the city, man. I can't help it. I love New York City. I have had so much fun in San Diego. Portland used to be so cool, dude. Gosh, Portland, Seattle too. People who never visited 20 years ago do not realize how sick Seattle used to be. I enjoy cities. I like how wild they are, crazy, and the food options, and it's just friggin' awesome. One of those cities was Austin, Texas. I remember the first time I ever went to Austin, Texas, I was doing construction, and we were trying to find work there in Austin, Texas, and flew into Austin, Texas, and I get off the airplane, and I'm walking through the airport in Austin, Texas, and I hear music, and it doesn't sound like it's coming over the speaker system. And I walk around the corner, and there is a live band in the Austin airport just playing for travelers, coming and going. It's more common now, what I just said. A lot of people were like, yeah, I guarantee. It's much more common now. I'd flown a lot back then. I'd never seen something like that before. But that was Austin. And you would go downtown. This is 20, 25 years ago, I would guess. I was young back then. I mean, shoot, I was real young back then. You go downtown, and it was just awesome food and dimes everywhere. And, oh, look at this place. And it was just wonderful. Here's a headline from today. Keep voting Democrat. This is what you get. Austin, quote, at the brink of disaster as police staffing shortages set the city back over 15 years. Policies have epically failed. 9/11 response times, you don't even want to know what they are. Back in February, this is from an article in the New York Post, an entire section of the city was left without a single police officer for hours. Nobody. No law enforcement at all. So, whose fault is that? Well, here's an article. Thank you, Michael, for this one. A few years ago. Headline: Austin City Council cuts police department budget by one-third, mainly through reorganizing some duties out from law enforcement oversight. They slashed and burned $150 million from the police department. Austin is gaining something like 250,000 people a year. They filled up that formerly great city full of violent criminals now, took the cops away, and it was all because of Democrat voters in urban areas. If you're a Democrat listening to the sound of my voice in Austin, I want you to understand the state of your city is your fault. You voted for this. You voted for this. And I should note that this was obviously in the wake of the St. George Floyd thing where they started slashing city budgets. Let's do give a shout out to all the Republicans out there who decided to do the look at how not racist I am thing in the wake of George Floyd dying, because that gave aid and comfort to the enemy when he was busy moving forward. Guys like Ohio Republican Senate candidate Matt Dolan, who back then talked about racism as a public health crisis. Quote, as I previously remarked, this is a time for us to listen and provide teaching moments for each other. This is this guy after George Floyd died. What I hope is not all is lost on emotion, history, and opportunity for change that came during the 12-hour Senate committee hearing on the issue of racism as a public health crisis. Good freaking grief. Knowledge and information, empathy, communication, and forgiveness will all be needed to end racism. Dolan also promised to pass police reform in memory of George Floyd. And that guy might be the next Republican United States Senator from Red, Ohio. Low T GOP once again. When the animals were tearing through America's cities and the communists who run these cities decided this was their moment to end law enforcement. This was their moment to turn loose all the rapists and the animals out of the jails so they can go pillage their citizens. When the communists dove on the death of George Floyd, the Republican Party nationally promptly grabbed its ankles and said, "Thank you, sir. May I have another?" Over and over and over again. This is why I'm so sick of this party, because we need them. The truth is, we need a GOP that has a spine, and they have failed us time and time again. Just once, I'd like to have a guy who doesn't navel gaze in the face of communist aggression. They all do it, and I can't stand it. Even the ones we consider to be our tough guys, they're some of the worst ones in the face of communist aggression. It drives me nuts. All right, speaking of communist aggression, let's deal with this Lake and Riley act. Speaking of the low T GOP, next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. You know, I was thinking this weekend. We were sitting there with the boys. We just finished a meal. We were all kind of sitting around being fat and lazy, sitting around the couch, and the boys go plop down beside each other. And it was 30 seconds, maybe, and they were roughhousing with each other. And now, don't get me wrong. It's not mean, right? They're actually really, they're best friends. But there's something about boys. They simply have to be physical and physical with each other. I don't know what it is. We'll kick them out back. We do this all the time. Go away. Go outside. Just disappear. I don't want to see you again. You know, that's how I was raised. Goodbye. I'll see you later. Couple hours. And it doesn't matter what they're doing. They will find a way to do something that can hurt them in some way. And probably will hurt them in some way. And I'm laughing because I'm having this conversation as we speak. I am having a text message conversation with my youngest son, Luke. And I wish I could tell you that it's a wonderful father-son conversation, that it's a loving conversation full of encouragement or something like that, or maybe I'm giving him some wisdom. But that's not the conversation I'm having. I'm having a conversation with Luke about tear gas and whether or not he can withstand tear gas, because Luke believes that he can withstand tear gas. What, Chris? No, the pepper spray and tear gas are two different things. Okay, let me explain something. The Jewish producer Chris is asking about pepper spray. Listen, this is, okay, so in the Marines, they made me go be a cop for a while. You know that. They made me go be a, you would know them as military police. They made me go be a cop for a while. And because the cops carry pepper spray, you have to do pepper spray qualification where they spray down your face with this stuff. And then you have to go through this course. You have to fight people off and cuff people. You have to try to control yourself when your eyes are on fire. I don't know whether it was the spray or whether it's my skin. It's something like 2% of the population is not affected by pepper spray. They sprayed me in the face with it. And then I turned to go do the course. And I just watched a bunch of people go through this course and you're crying and you're snotting and you're coughing. And I turned and everyone thought I was made of iron because I didn't feel anything at all. And they were all, whoa, look how tough Jesse is. It had nothing to do with tough. I didn't feel anything at all until I sprayed water on my face when the course was over. Then that activated it. Then I got the pepper spray. Pepper spray and tear gas are two different things. Tear gas, they'll do that to you in the Marines. They'll do that in boot camp. You have to go to the gas chamber. It's known as a gas chamber. I've explained it to you before. It's terrible, and they make sure it's terrible. They're, quote, teaching you how to put on a gas mask. They're really not. They're teaching you how to follow orders, how to suffer as a group, how to do these things. And look, tear gas and pepper spray, I thought, having experienced both of them, I thought they were pretty similar. What's going to happen? Your eyes are going to burn so bad. You feel like you want to tear them out of your skull, and your nose will, you'll be snotting and slobbering because you can't. It attacks, you know, it attacks all that soft tissue with all the moist soft tissue. So your eyes, your lungs, it goes after them. Anyway, so I've told you about the Byrna pistols we have at the house, the Byrna launchers. We have these Byrna launchers. They shoot these non-lethal rounds, not just non-lethal pepper balls, but they shoot kinetic rounds, which is just hard plastic. I'm telling you, man, you don't want to get shot by one of these, but hard plastic. And they have tear gas rounds. And the discussion I'm currently having by text message is, can we withstand the tear gas rounds? If we do, how long do we have to withstand them to prove that we're men? How enclosed does the space have to be? Do we actually have to shoot each other? Can we shoot something on the ground? Because remember this, when I tell you about Byrna, that's one of the beauties of Byrna. If you have a pepper ball round or a tear gas round, and let's say he's got super soft clothes on, for some reason you don't feel like you can shoot him, or he's hiding behind a car or something, you shoot the ground right in front of him. It'll pop, and it's this powder in his face. Anyway, the discussion with Luke currently is, should we try one of the tear gas rounds? I feel like we should try one of the tear gas rounds. I feel like that's a test of manhood. That should be a thing. Anyway, go get your Byrna launcher and don't shoot your son with it. BYRNA. Non-lethal, there's nothing better. I love having a non-lethal option legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. They have holsters, everything you need. Get a Byrna pistol launcher. All right? It save your life one day. It's more than just fun with your son. BYRNA.com/Jesse. Byrna.com/Jesse. You get 10% off everything. Try the Byrna stuff, man. I got to tell you, I feel like if you're going to test yourself, you've got to actually shoot each other with it. But I feel like that's going to involve some deception, because there's no way the wife is going to go for that. There's no way she's going to allow us shooting each other. I can't even imagine the safety precautions she's going to try to demand. We'll just wait till she's out of town. We'll wait till she's going to see her parents. And then it'll be me and Luke in the backyard with our goggles on, firing away. Anyway, let's get to some emails. No, let's get to this illegal stuff. Communists love illegal immigration because it gives them more power. It waters down your vote. It increases the violent crime of a country. More than 8 million illegals, they're going to be in the country in just the last 4 or 5 years. More than 8 million. That number is so high, I just can't put it into words. This is all being done on purpose. They understand all the numbers. They understand the crime that comes with it. The crime is the point. The chaos is the point. I mean, why in the world? This is the former Border Patrol chief, Raul Ortiz is his name. You realize how amazing it is that the president and vice president, they never spoke to
Raul Ortiz served as chief of the U.S. Border Patrol under President Biden and deputy chief under President Trump. He retired last year.
When agencies are making a decision based upon politics or whether they're going to get media coverage, hey, we're going to put all our personnel in this 2 mile stretch. What about the other 200 miles? I've never had one conversation with the president or the vice president for that matter. And so I was the chief.
Why did they do that? Why did they move all the agents to one little section and leave 200 miles open? Because they want the illegals to come in. It is not an accident. It's not a weird side effect of these liberal policies. It is their intention to flood the nation with the illegals who will rape, murder, and water down this culture. And don't think for one second the murder of some girl, speaking of the Lake and Riley Act, is going to dissuade these people at all. How broken up does Mayorkas sound to you?
A 22-year-old nursing student, I know you've been following this, Lake and Riley in the state of Georgia, was murdered allegedly by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family, number one. Number two, and importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, one individual is responsible for the murder, and that is the murderer.
Notice what he's doing. Oh, it's only one guy, of course. Why? Why run protection for illegals? Because they want them here. They want them here. Here's Victoria Escobar, Democrat, of course.
The fact of the matter is immigrants commit crimes at less significant rates than native born Americans. And in communities where migrants have been bused, crime has gone down.
Yeah, let's ask New York about that.
One who commits such a horrific crime absolutely needs to be prosecuted within the full extent of the law. But also the fact of the matter is when Donald Trump was in office, over a million migrants were released. I'm sure that you know, there was a fraction of those migrants who also committed crimes. The issue is not that migrants commit crimes. The issue is we have not reformed a system that is badly broken, and it's been Republicans standing in the way of that every year that we've tried this for decades.
They want the country full of illegals. And that leads me to this. You hear what she said? I mean, most of these people don't even commit crimes. They don't commit as many crimes as Native Americans. Okay. So let's talk about the Lake and Riley Act. Next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
I love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Don't forget, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Okay, so the GOP today, they pushed the Lake and Riley Act. The act would require the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, to take into custody migrants who've been charged with theft. It would require them to take into custody migrants, they're illegals, by the way, but the said in the article, migrants who've been charged with theft. I think about that. Then I think about what this Veronica Escobar said, and it just occurs to me how far the Overton window has shifted in the wrong direction in this country and how much work we have to do to shift it back.
The fact of the matter is, immigrants commit crimes at less significant rates than native-born Americans.
Do you know how many illegals commit crimes? You know how many? Or you know what? I should let's do this in a more technical way. I want to make sure I'm getting the details right. Do you know what percentage of illegals have committed crimes in this country? You know what percentage? All of them! Every single one! Every single Tom, Dick, and Harry, every man, woman, and child who violated the immigration law of the United States of America is a criminal. A criminal who should be arrested, maybe do a prison term, maybe not, but arrested and deported as if they're all criminals, because they're all criminals! Every one of them! And of course, the GOP lame response. But well, I mean, if you happen to find one and he's stolen something, then you have to deport him. Of course, the communists would go down to the border and kick the doors open and look at every third world dump in the country and say, "Hey, bring us all your turds. If you got a rapist you can spare, send him here." That's what the communist does. And of course, the GOP response would be, "Well, I mean, maybe we should stop some of them. I don't know. Just not too many. If you've committed a theft, then we can stop." Oh my gosh. Every time. This is why you heard me rant at the beginning of the show about the Supreme Court decision from today. Yes, a 9-0 Supreme Court decision saying Donald Trump's name can't be removed from the ballot is a good thing. It's an awesome thing. Put a smile on your face. Be happy about it. Let's not act like this is some huge political win. You shouldn't have to have that conversation. When you start having to have that conversation, you're in trouble. Again, if you and me, if we share a home, let's say we're roomies, and you catch me trying to light the living room on fire, and I tell you I want to set fire to the living room, and we end up having to go to arbitration, and an arbitrator tells me in no uncertain terms, "Jesse, you are not allowed to set the living room on fire. I forbid it." Okay, well, that's good, but you're still living with someone who wants to set the living room on fire, aren't you? We must begin acting as if we are sharing a country with people hostile to the country, and we're not doing that. They are. They are so clear-eyed about their enemy, about what they want, where they want to go, what they want to dominate, everything. Listen to Adam Schiff. Yes, he's a piece of trash. Yes, he's probably going to be the next senator from California. But he is so clear about what he wants, what he needs, what's in his way.
Hard to understand the decision, Wolf, except that it is likely some of the justices simply want to assist Donald Trump in delaying the resolution of this case in the hope of pushing his trial off past the election. If that were to happen, then of course Donald Trump would try to, if successful in the election, make the whole case go away. And I say that as a very likely motivation for some of these justices, because there's no reason to take this case.
Adam Schiff got shot down 9-0 in the Supreme Court. Adam Schiff hasn't missed a beat. It's attack, 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 attack at all times. Our side, well, hey, here's a new illegal immigration act, and it says we can deport illegals. Not all of them. No, if you've committed a theft, then you can. Man alive. You want to talk about never shifting the Overton window back our way. Headline, Washington Post reporter says shoplifting is not a big deal because U.S. is built on stolen land. Mara Judkus is her name. Man, I bet high school was difficult on a girl by the name of Judkus. Either way, these people are trying to burn it all down. And that's why. Look, get mad at that dirty commie all you want. She's honest and clear-eyed about it. This place sucks. It's an evil, dirty place on stolen land. So we should allow the animals to terrorize everything. Yeah, Lee. That's fine. You know what? Go ahead. I don't care what happens to CVS. You know why? Because I can't get my pillow products in CVS. Let's talk about my pillow. Let's talk about the fact that my pillow continues to be canceled by big box store after big box store, but the quality is so incredible, MyPillow continues to grow and be powerful. That is a credit to you and a credit to the company Mike Lindell has built. And the sales. Man, they always have these great sales. Giza Dream Sheets right now, queen size set $59.98. King size, $10 more. My slippers, the OGs, the original My slippers, 60% off. What, Chris? I don't know what OG means. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544. Take advantage of the sale. Support the company that supports us. And put your money where your morals are.
And now...
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Judges improperly enhanced sentences of more than 100 January 6th rioters, appeals court rules. Just a reminder to you that the land of the free has been ritually torturing and abusing people because they're Republicans. Would you like to hear an example? Headline, ear-piercing noise blares through the D.C. gulag, torturing sleep-deprived January 6 prisoners for weeks. That's an enhanced interrogation technique that we've used on radical jihadis. It's now used here in America against Republicans rotting in jail, most of them there for nonviolent misdemeanors. BlackRock admits CEO Larry Fink's woke ESG activism focus could materially adversely hit business. Oh, do you think taking your money from that which is profitable to that which is communist might affect people's 401k? No, you don't say. One of the world's most populated cities is nearly out of water, as many go days, if not weeks, without it. That's Mexico City, 22 million people. I just want to remind you, an American, once again, every now and then look around and smell the roses and count your blessings. When I am in this country, I'm always close to a tap full of clean drinking water. Many, many, many places around the world, they die of thirst, all right? So with that, put your chin up and we will do it again tomorrow. That's all.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.